today on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Night 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the second part of Daily Today. 7:32 already, so we're going to just get right to the headlines. I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Diso. Good morning.
Yes, let's start this morning by letting you know you can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 and you'll be right here with us. We're going to start with this story here from our news, and then we'll attach that to the page 10 story from the Vanguard newspaper. That's the story that says Lagos. Lagos stops petrol stations from selling petrol beyond 4 p.m. As it means that all independent petroleum marketers operating along major roads in Lagos are now to open between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. It's a new directive from the Lagos State Government. Dr. Frederick Oladende is the Commissioner for Transportation in Lagos and is asking law enforcement agents to please ensure the enforcement of that directive. Also, FG has increased petrol price to 185 naira per litre. That one is from the Vanguard.
Okay, now what we can see is we can now see concern on the part of the government. We can now see concern about the traffic situation in Lagos as caused by fuel queues and so on and so forth. There are other considerations, but some part of this needs clarity, and I think we need to get that clear. It says all along major roads. What is the definition of a major road? We need to get that clear. Some people will think a major road is what they would call a partial express, like Ikorodu Road, and so they think that those are major roads. However, within the metropolis itself, of major roads are major petrol stations that cause traffic that even spill up. The traffic spills onto the major roads easily. So I think the government has to go back to the drawing board. If they are going to, and I don't know, it says between 9 and 4 p.m. So I don't think this is quite thorough. I mean, it's a nice attempt, to be honest with you, and I think I'm happy that they do feel concerned. But there are some inner roads. The traffic can easily lead to the major roads. So it's not just locking down major roads that is the problem as such. Of course, we need to find a way to increase the flow of fuel, because anytime there's fuel, you know, in abundance, you don't find any queues. You drive in and move off. So that is that. So I'd like Dr. Ladende and his crew to go back again to the drawing board and look at this directive. And then for you to now have petrol unavailable in the major stations on the major road between 9 and 4, are you not compounding in these days of, you know, lack of enough supply? Are you not compounding and binding those who are on the inner roads, businesses, residents? You know, there are no business districts in Lagos. It's a mix. You know, so let's go into the issue of bad town planning that we have. But what we have is that, are you not then creating a larger problem on the so-called inner roads? So the government needs to go back. And don't forget, it's not just fuel stations that are causing this terrible traffic that we have. Even at the time of plenty, we still have loads of traffic, mainly because of the construction that is going on in a disorganized manner. And I always am ready to give an example of Surulere. If you live in Surulere, you want to go to Lagos, Eko Bridge is locked down. You want to go through Costain is locked down. You want to go through Ojulegba is locked down, construction. And then if you want to go through what I still refer to as Kalakuta, as Machalashi, All of you now, all of you now come together. You can't turn right into Yaba like we used to do. It's lockdown. All of you now go in one singular lane across Herbert Macaulay to get to Third Mainland Bridge. So what do some of us do? You are going to Lagos on the right. You first of all go all the way to what's it called, Anthony, to link up the Third Mainland Bridge from the upper end so you can get to Lagos in one mental piece. So anyway, we appreciate the problem that there is, but I think we need to tweak this properly and come out with something that would create less problem. And then, so we now go to, I'm tired of reading these stories every day, but you don't have a choice. So officially now, petrol price is 1.85 per liter. I say officially because even in the metropolis here, you get 2.50 per liter in some stations. And nobody is doing anything about it. In some stations here, 2.50. You still have to queue to buy that 2.50.
That's right.
The marketers are saying that, look, the only thing that will save us is total deregulation. Ipman says we lift at 240 per liter. So if you lift at 2.40, Ipman are they're not the majors.
Independent petroleum marketers.
If you lift at 2.40, surely you'd need to add something to it. But labor is kicking about the petroleum hike. Organized labor expressed shock. What shock at what? Every other item has gone up in there. So it's the expressed shock over the increase, describing it as the last kick of a dying regime. Where were these labor when we finally got to this destination? We had all seen it coming. Various government policies, we'd seen it coming. So they're reacting quite a bit late. And I don't think anybody is ready to want to go out to the streets to do anything at this time. Our eyes are fixed on this election, which is how many days away now?
37, I think.
Are you counting?
Yes.
37. We should have something here that gives us a number of days. 37 days, we'll have an election and then...
Yes. 37 days.
That would be interesting, you know?
Yeah, it will be.
It's coming in bit by bit, you know? So, let's say in 39 days, Mr. Sheriff will be hosting his program with his guest, Mr. Jimmy Disu, and he'll be talking about a new president for Nigeria.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
I think I'll take a holiday before.
let's hope so.
It's going to be one of the most difficult parts of our job. On that, because I just can't predict what we'll be talking about here.
Yeah.
I'll tell Philip to fill in for me.
We'll set agenda. Perhaps we'll still be looking at, you know, how the election panned out, you know, what played out.
But you would have had the results.
Yes. So we'll most likely now be talking about political parties, what they, their reaction to the results, people going to tribunal, you know, people collecting sands as if they are collecting shirts.
I want to enjoy my weekend. Don't frighten me.
Yeah. Let's go take this one here. So the story is the spread here. It's spread in the Punch newspaper. It says, touts torture conductor over 100 naira. Angry drivers meet MC Oluomo.
I keep saying, and I will never tire of saying, that the arrangement that we have with these parks and managements and touts and whatever, and the seeming connivance, that's the picture that is presented of the government's tolerance, to put it mildly, of this phenomenon that we have, is not going to augur well for some people when the history of Lagos is being told. Jackson has been dead only God knows how long, and we're still talking about him. What would we be saying about this present government years after they have gone? Because it is getting completely out of hand. Let me read this story. Some louts said to be workers of the Lagos State Parks and Garages Management. These are quote and unquote government officials, because they say, he says, they are workers of the Lagos State Parks and Garages Management, have brutalized the commercial bus conductor Saheed Alimi in the Sabo area of Ikorodu, Lagos State. According to Punt, they gathered that Alimi dropped off passengers at the bus stop on Monday when the gang approached him and demanded 100 naira as payment for using the bus stop. We know that this happens. We know. Okay. When Alimi resisted, the hoodlums were said to have flogged him with canes as they dragged him on the tarred road. Remember the quote, Toba, anybody, Toba's physical, a normal station. You remember that quote? Who said it and to whom? Oh, did you do Bible knowledge in our literature in school?
No, I didn't.
Who said it and to whom? Station. So in this case, they flogged him with canes, okay, and dragged him on the tarred road. While the attack continued, the bus conductor claimed he lost 14,700. Conveniently, if that happened, I'd say I lost some money. So the victim, who spoke to our correspondent on the other, said he was hospitalized. After the incident. Look at him. See his mouth. Look at that.
Ooh.
It happens every day. Don't let's have a debate over it. It happens every day. And he said, I told them it was my final bus stop. That was how they started flogging me with canes in Nigeria of 2023. I told the driver to stop because the vehicle was still in motion and we couldn't speed off in that area, and so on and so forth. So he went to a police station to report the matter so he could be treated in hospital. Two officers followed me to the spot where the incident happened. But when they got there, we didn't see them. They are taking to their heels, what in Meho. And so on and so forth. Please, somebody should please put a stop to this. If you open up the lines now, if you have an open mic on this incident alone, I don't think we'll be done by this time tomorrow of people's experiences. I mean, I don't take public transportation, but hey, the experience every day, breaking windscreens, breaking this, breaking that. We can't hand over our country to a state to touts now. We can't do that. We can't do that. And I know it's a political season, but what I even told some members of the APC that are my friends is that this synergy that you have between you and AURTW or whatever it is, and some of them touts and so on and so forth, is going to backfire against you. They will turn the people against you at the polls. Because what we think is that, okay, the romance between the government and these, they've now come under parks and garages for whatever it is, but we know who they are and what they are, it's not going to help you. Because, you see, when it comes to even having a physical force and army in waiting, from the feelers that we get, they might just be in for a surprise. There is no monopoly to these things. There is no monopoly to all these threatening of violence and so on and so forth. And I don't think some of us know how ready some quote and unquote ordinary civilians are to make sure that the polls are free and fair. So this strategy is going to backfire, I guess, because already now you need to talk to commuters, how they feel. The funny thing about politicians is that they don't put their ears to the ground well to hear the true position of the people. People are intimidated, some of them are afraid, they're intimidated, and so on and so forth. So this idea of thinking that, oh, if you can use these guys for whatever, it's going to backfire on the APC in Lagos. You can't subject us. We even during military rule, the soldiers never, well, Tafa, he caned everybody into land. When traffic got bad, was it Obasanjo? No, who was the governor then? He appointed Colonel Tafa. Oyoko Boko said anybody.
Way anybody.
You never heard of, you didn't hear of that?
Mm-mm.
Ay, shit. Colonel Tafa, I wonder where he is now. But in all honesty, the governor needs to weigh in into all this, get these guys off the road. You know, look at this guy now, he's beating black and blue.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, what a country.
You can see that.
Okay.
I mean, they beat drivers, they beat conductors, and they damage cars.
They damage cars, and now it's even gotten to anything that moves. if you drive a wheelbarrow and, and you're selling fruits and oranges and so on and so forth, there's somebody also, I think an extension of Parks and Management, who will lay you. Go to Keto and see what it's like. Even in the inner roads, Fade, Yisu, Lere, all these areas. Even sometimes when you get it, you get somebody to come and supply you. You've bought a fridge, they've come to deliver the fridge in some areas, it must pay something. If you drive along the marina, all tanker is going, whatever, they keep coming out from everywhere. And we look, and the government doesn't do anything. Anyway, let's move on to the next story.
Yes, our next story is saying Sanwo-Olu approves work-free days for PVC collection. It's in Daily Trust, page 10.
I had this on... I had this on the news this morning. And I wonder what, you know, I wonder what other countries, people of other countries and nationals think of us as a people. You have a work-free day just because you want to go and collect a PVC. In the first instance, the thing is wrong, is badly managed, you know, from the onset. A PVC should be something you can get any time, you know. It shouldn't be something that is set in time. It should be automated. I would assume if you wanted to get the equivalent of a PVC, you fill the form online and it comes back to you in the post. You know, but even for where we are, so according to this, it says that has approved work-free days, not one day, to collect their PVCs before January 29. Murray Oglad declared work-free days for public servants according to their grade levels. What does that mean? What does according to their grade levels mean?
So yeah, so they have some grades that will go on this day, the next day to be another grade level, another cell, yeah, then the other
but
day.
But isn't governance systemic? Okay, so you see, because okay, so if you allow those on levels 10 to 16, take one day off, what work are those on level 8 going to do?
They're still going to do their job.
And pass the water.
Just pass it to their table. So when those ones return,
like a bunch of unserious people. Sheriff.
They would pick up the files.
Let me be honest with you. I don't know. We tend to be more emotional in the things that we do and just pander to frailties of people in a bit too. Why would you close down a state? Because you see, once you have one level off, the work doesn't get done. It doesn't get done. And so you now have that for 4 days just because you want to. How would it sound to members of the public if all of us here took 4 days off and shut down the station because we want to collect PVCs? By the way, I haven't collected mine. it's still up there, you know. But I don't think. And don't forget that you can actually collect your PVC on a Saturday and a Sunday.
That's right.
There you go. I must say that I'm, to be honest with you, and I'm saying this, you know, I'm a bit worried about governance in my state. Some of the decisions that you hear, some of the actions that you see are actually worrying. And maybe when all this election is over, whoever wins might have to set up some kind of think tank and streamline a lot of things. There are too many embarrassing gaps here and there that could easily be avoided. Why would I, as a governor, have 4 days?
We're going to take our next story, still with the Daily Trust, page 21. I sell stolen cars to officers. Never rating.
Now, when you hear this headline, you begin to wonder what it is. I will tell you. There's this 50-year-old rating called Oyewole Femi. It's a never rating. Never rating means recruit. Like what you used to call recruit. Okay. Who is the head of a car snatching syndicate? I'm reading this from the Daily Trust, page 21, that operates in Lagos and its environs. And he is said to have actually confessed to selling most of the stolen cars to senior naval officers. The suspect, alongside three others, were arrested by the police. Oyewale, who claimed to be serving at the headquarters of the Western Naval Command, said that, "I am a serving naval officer attached to the headquarters," and so on and so forth. "I'm the leader of a car sergeant gang. I have served in the Navy for 22 years. I have been arrested for similar offenses by the police. I've also received more than 15 units of vehicles from members of my gang." In 2016, I'm quoting him now, what is in there, "I was handed over to the Western Naval Command when the police discovered that I am a serving naval officer for necessary disciplinary action." So he was caught for robbery and handed over to the Navy, which I don't think that's what should have been. He should have been prosecuted. And he said, "I was subsequently arrested alongside Joshua Deleke and Kabiru Ismaila for a similar offense by SARS in 2019, when 7 units of vehicles were recorded from me." And he said, "I was handed over to naval authorities for necessary discipline whilst Joshua and Kabiru were prosecuted." Then he was asked, when asked why he was allowed to go, he said, "No disciplinary action was taken against me because some of the receivers of the stolen vehicles are top officers in the Nigerian Navy. The Nigerian Navy needs to explain to us what has gone on here. Need to. There are some of us that are lovers of the Navy. I wanted to join the Air Force. Not to fly, because people will be pointing at my eyes. But I wanted to join the Air Force when I finished uni. Okay? But some of us are lovers of the Navy. Yeah, you know, when I remember the past admirals, when I remember especially Admiral Way back then, you know, who would encourage us when we were doing cross-country and things like that, you know, in the days of Gawan. Governance was, let me use the Nigerian word, was very sweet in those days. He says, when I was allowed to go, "No disciplinary action was taken against me. Some of the leaders of stealing vehicles are top officers in the Navy. This is an indictment, and we would like the Navy to react to this." But he says here, "The spokesman of the Western Naval Command, Commander Edward Yebo, told our correspondent, that the trust correspondent, on the phone, that the command was only aware that Oyewale was arrested as a receiver of stolen vehicles." And then he said, I'm quoting him in trust, said, "It is a lie from the pit of hell." Please, where is the pit of hell?
Nobody.
I heard this phrase.
Yeah.
Do you know where hell is?
I have no idea.
Is hell a pit? Why do we always keep thinking hell is down? It could be up.
It could be even everywhere.
It could be on your seat.
It could be everywhere. Even on your seat, too.
No, I cannot. Yeah, you know. You know. I knew you would react. I says from, and he says that it is a lie from the pit of hell. No serving senior naval officer will buy a stolen vehicle because they know the implications. Why don't you investigate, Oga Navy? I think the Navy should quickly investigate and check the veracity of what this man has said. He's been quoted here, and he says that he was, you know, he was sent back to the Navy. But the Navy couldn't do anything because no disciplinary action was taken against me because some of the receivers of the stolen vehicles are top officers in the Nigerian Navy. It's possible that he just sold them cheap vehicles and they didn't know that it was stolen. I mean, sometimes the Lord can smile on you. A vehicle of maybe something about 12 million.
He could have lied.
He could have lied.
His uncle is in UK and descending cars.
And that he loves the officer. So a vehicle that should normally be 12, because stolen goods are usually like half price.
Yes.
To get them out of the way. So if a vehicle that's usually like 12 million is sold to you at 4.5, the Lord has smiled on you. You do Thanksgiving on Sunday. He could say that this man loves him. This loyalty.
Yeah. He could have lied, honestly. You could have lied to the senior officers.
So when he was reported at that time, why didn't the Navy do something?
Yeah, that's where the Navy would have...
They should have handed him over to the police for prosecution.
Would not have to. And I honestly do think that when someone commits a crime, I don't know how legal system... I don't know how it works. But I don't think that it's right for someone, for instance, to shoot somebody dead. Now, instead of the state to now prosecute that, you now hand over that person back. To the police, or you know, hand it to the army, or you know, especially back to the Navy.
Well, but we've seen what happened in the case of the policeman, for example, the recent one. They got him suspended in the police and prosecuted him. So part of the problem also has to do with the police. The compromise came from the police. The police can still insist that they want to charge him.
Yeah.
You know, they can still insist. They haven't done that. And the man has come out to say that, well, the Navy, so maybe the naval officers spoke to their counterparts in the police, say, leave us to Shoti Yensin. Leave it to, yes, yes. But this is not good for the Navy. It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
When I remember my friends that have gone, Ahigbe, you know, Admiral Ahigbe, when I remember Motainwa, you know, those fine officers, fine retired officers back in the day that inspired us. I don't know if Admiral Macaulay is still in service. I mean, I have loads of contacts. This doesn't look good at all. And I don't think the spokesperson should have dismissed it just like that.
Right. I think it should have been open to several possibilities, maybe investigation.
Yes, yes.
And I also would like to say there are bad people everywhere.
Even in our own profession.
Yeah, exactly. So in situations like this, people just generally just term, the Navy is corrupt.
No, there are
bad people everywhere. No matter how tight you feel your structure is, there will always be that Igiworoko that's looking to just scatter everything.
Let me quickly state here, just in case, before people go haywire in the social media, I always demand full respect and support for members of our armed forces, police, DSS, and so on and so forth. Because after all our criticisms, these are people who put their lives on the line for people like you and I. Sheriff and I wouldn't be sitting down here if we didn't have members of the Army, Navy, whatever, protecting the country. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that we, in this particular case especially, I'm so worried about the image of the Navy. I don't want any stain on that white uniform, you know, because of the interactions. Don't forget, I grew up in a military government. So we looked up, in fact, my primary school was in a military compound. It wasn't a military school. It was a military compound in Yaba. You know, so we'd like the spokesperson, Commander Yeibo, if he has this, you know, he can come forward and give a full account. But we advise that we've got to go.
Yes, we have to go. That's been our show for this week, the last one for this week. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, sir.
But he'll be back at 9. I'm Sharif. Let's take the news now. Thank you.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not